How and why did it sink? Who and what was aboard it? Why was it even there? Some divers become obsessed with trying to discover the answers, even to the point of risking their lives. They become engaged, often without fully realizing it, in a deadly competition with other divers in a game with rules they may never understand. Although I retired from serious wreck diving before technical diving got a foothold in our sport, I too suffered a serious bout of decompression sickness. Oddly enough, mine, an undeserved hit if there is such a thing, took place during a placid dive off the island of Guanaja in Honduras. For years, I had skirted the edges of decompression theory and occasionally crossed into uncharted theoretical territory and gotten away with it. Then, during an easy, relatively shallow dive, well within the safety limits of the decompression tables, a bubble chose to appear in my spinal cord, triggering a desperate series of events that could have left me paralyzed. Fortunately, that did not happen, but there were consequences, as there always are when the nervous system is compromised. Despite the fact the damaged connective nerve tissues have since rerouted themselves, sometimes, especially when I get tired, the destruction caused by that singular bubble becomes evident to me in subtle but undeniable ways. Mr. Chowdhury knows what I mean. Like him, I still dive, though not so deep nor so long. The Rouses' story is a tragedy not because they died, but because they died so unfulfilled. Even had they ultimately brought back an artifact that could have precisely identified the U-boat, this prize would not have satisfied them or brought them the recognition they seemed to crave so desperately. The Rouses, despite their social and personal shortcomings, were great men, fully capable of doing great things. Their fate, however, was to live in a country and an age in which such greatness is often shunned, even seen as antisocial. Although I believe they would have thrived in an era of celebrated exploration, it was their unfortunate fate to be stuck in the drab present. The only way they could fulfill their hungry spirit was to become part of a small, select, adventurous, and potentially deadly society. The diving community, for all its references to the gentle contemplation of the beauty of the undersea world, is actually a very harsh group. From all those who dare to enter it, we demand near perfection in skill and form, including the method and style of our dying. To die while diving is one thing, but to die poorly is to wipe clean all the tributes and laurels we might have gathered during our diving careers. All divers know this. And so it is somewhere in our minds on every dive, the need, if it comes to that, to die cleanly and bravely, if not wisely. We are a band of brothers and sisters who admire the lost cave diver who stubbornly clings to life to the end, breathing down his tank to the nubs, but we disdain the diver who panics and dies with a tank still half filled with gas. Both divers are just as dead, just as foolish. But one is allowed to ascend into our version of Valhalla, while the other is sent to diving purgatory for all eternity. Readers, even those who are not divers, will love this book. Whether they will fully grasp the character of the Rouses and the other divers that Bernie Chowdhury has so skillfully captured, without knowing firsthand the lure of the depths and the competitiveness of those of us who want to go there, I don't know. All I know for sure is that they, like me, are going to find the Rouse boys often in their minds. I can only hope that they will also appreciate the Rouses for whom they wanted to be, even if they didn't quite make it there. Bernie Chowdhury has written a book that seems to explore diving and the deep, cruel sea. In reality, he has written a book about exploring a place even deeper and far crueler, the human psyche, and our often unfulfilled souls. We should thank him for the illumination. And now, the last dive.
Chapter 1. Deadly Secrets. October 12, 1992. North Atlantic Ocean. Approximately 60 miles offshore. Equidistant from the New Jersey and New York coastlines. The wind mounted steadily throughout the night as Chris Rouse, cocooned in his sleeping bag, braced himself against the side of his bunk. He felt a bit uneasy, his stomach tossed by the dark waves that slammed